we're recording. Again, Shkayach after a very long day, making the effort to be here. It's a very special special thing. And puts the whole thing, everything we do, all, the entire Avodah Hashem, I think, the base measure at night. Yeah, very good. The entire Avodah of coming to the base medrash after a long day working here is puts the entire thing into a proper context and frames it. And so for us to be able to get together and learn a little bit and see what we can learn. Please, yeah. Come on in.
Oh, no, really? It's a shiur.
Yeah, sure. Welcome. Just saying it after a long day of working here in camp, to be able to come to the base measure at night puts everything into context, and you know we know what we're doing during the days of Avodas Hashem, but this makes it very, very clear, and this shows that everything we're doing is constantly just trying to get closer to Hashem and do what makes Hashem proud, and it's in this context. So this if we can participate, that'd be great, because I think if we don't, you guys will be out cold in a few minutes. So let's share some ideas. Also, I don't know. I just have some midrashim that are puzzling. These are my notes. I have a few midrashim that I'm supposed to look at that I have in my notes, and we'll see if there's something that we can gain. Of course, there is. We'll see if we can find the hidden treasures though in the midrash. In the midrash, the Chazal and the midrashim speak in codes, in mashalim, give interesting interpretations, and there's always a question of what we're supposed to try to gain from their words. So we'll explore together, we'll think about it, and see what we could do. Try to find some of these midrashim aside. But we're going to start in midrashim and the hidden treasures in Parshas Chukas. We're going to start from Parsha Yotes in Chukas. I have over here Sikta Beis. Right, that's the second portion. So it has an interesting discussion about the Paraduma, right? That's obviously the first topic in Parshas Chukas. And it says that there's a lot of Sheva, right? Sheish ba mi Shiva, Sheva, Sheva Paros, Sheva Srefos. So if you look through how many times it mentions the word para in the Parsha, 7 times. That's what the Midrash says. And if you look at how many times it says Srefos, what's Srefos? What's Srefa?
Burning,
right? How many times did it mention the shorosh of the word srefa, of burning, in the avoda of the paraduma? Take a guess.
7.
Bingo. Oh. Okay. Then we have sheva hazayos. How many times did it mention hazayos, sprinkling, in this parsha? 7. Sheva kivusin. There's also 7 washings. Like laundering is mentioned. Shiva Tameyim. It says Tamei 7 times. Shiva Tahorim. Shiva Kohanim. This is very cool. Meaning you read the Parsha, you don't notice this. But the Midrash says, I'm not sure if you are taking account. And this is before, you know, they had the search engines that you can look up how many times the word showed up, right? Yeah, this is before they had search engines, and the Midrash is telling us in the Parsha of Paraduma we have the word para coming up 7 times, srefa burning 7 times, hazaya sprinkling 7 times, kibusin laundering 7 times, tahurin temeim 7 times, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. It's really amazing, and then it says sheva kohanim. There's 7 mentions of kohen. Then the Midrash says, hold on. Vim yomer lach adam, and if someone's going to try to fact check me and say kamisha heim, there's only 5. I did the Google search or Control F, and I searched Kohen in Para Aduma, and guess how many I found? 5. Amar lo, you know what you should tell that guy? You know, tell Mr. Fact Check. Moshe to Aaron bichlal. No, we're including Moshe and Aaron too. Moshe and Aaron get to be included in this, in the adds the list.
They're on.
Complicated. You're at least half correct.
It
says Kohanim 7 times. What do you mean, so Kohanim 7 times? So, Moshe v'Aaron b'chlal, sh'nemar v'yidabar Hashem Moshe v'Aaron l'emor, zos chukas haTorah. Because Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe and Aaron are mentioned in the Parsha. Therefore, that's 7. That's the end of the Midrash. Okay. What's... So I guess there's a few points. I mean, what's the Midrash getting at? What's it trying to tell us? It's very cool. And honestly, if you wouldn't have said the Kohanim thing, I would say that is a very cool Midrash. Great Ha'ara. Right? You have that in this Parsha, so many key words show up seven times. Wow, that's very interesting. When it gets to this piece about like, okay, but Aaron and Moshe are included, okay. Well, why is Moshe included? Is Moshe a Kohen?
He was for some
days. Okay. Right, so oh, good, right. So for the Shivas Yimei Miluim, when the Mishkan was first inaugurated, so for 7 days, Moshe served as the Kohen Gadol, and Chazal tell us that Moshe was going to serve as Kohen Gadol, but it's funny that we include that, like we kind of needed to go there. I believe it's the Eitz Yosef over here who quotes the Bir HaGra that says that gets it from Moshe V'Aaron V'Kohanov. Right? Moshe V'Aaron, they're included. There's Moshe and Aaron, so as V'Kohanov, Ushmuel V'Koreh Shemo, right? But Moshe and Aaron are the Kohanim. So we kind of have some, you know.
It's
right. Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, yes, you're right. Meaning we have like references and allusions and something that could be darshan to include Moshe.
Is the possessing God? Is it Aaron or is it Hashem? Moshe and Aaron and his Kohanim.
Yeah. Right. Right. It's a Remez, which we see the Eitz Yosef inside. I don't see the Eitz Yosef over here. I think I had in my notes. Years ago. Okay, so anyway, I wasn't really giving a beer or hezbollah. This is a puzzling midrash. Puzzling midrash numero uno, yeah?
Well, it makes a lot of sense. The idea is like, you know, seven is Maramis the completion process. What are the things that have seven? Are all seven? Kohan. Yeah, Kohan. The Azaliah. You can have Azaliah. Jesus, the Walsh. You have that. Yeah, well, everything that we think that we're listing off seven is all because that's the process. And seven is what we use to allude to a sense of completion, 10 days a week, things like that. No, typically, and then eight we use as like
it's really, if you want to go, like the cleanness of numbers, 10 is a number of completion, 7 is a number of within the bounds of Teva. And Shmona, famous in the Marah, right, brings down others. It's Lama Lama Teva.
Then that's the order. That is
right.
Seven's order. And then you have seven. And then you have seven, or this and that. But that's the process you're going through. Why you have, so these are all, this is all, and what's four processes we're talking about? We're talking about the Tower process. Why, I mean.
Yeah, and we see that seven is definitely a common theme throughout Tahara, for sure. Right? We see this theme, a theme by. Right, we see this thing throughout Tahara, by Sora, by Nida, by Zav, like we go in sets of seven. So yeah, the number seven, it's not surprising that that's being connected over here. It's a little funny that like Moshe and Aaron are included over here, especially Moshe. But okay, that's like one midrash.
But not just the process, but the completion of it. The complete, you have achieved, you have gone from having a status of Tama to status of Tahara. And you've completed. The process is that you've completed something.
Okay.
And it's only done when you have, and that's why the constant use of the word seven, because it was all the steps to the way, on the way towards completion. It's like, so,
I think that's what you're saying. Yeah. So that's number one. Meaning I don't think it's fully explained, but yeah, I mean we see definitely that's what it's getting at, and seven is Teva and associated strongly with Tuma. Okay. Let's see, I have next over here, Psikta Hey. So this is an interesting one that discusses, and you might have heard various forms of this, Yeshua de Sichnin B'Shem Rabbi Levi Omer. Arba Dvar Mitzahara Meshiv Aleihem. There are four things that the Yitzahara tries to bring against them. Deksiv Behen Chuka, it's because it says by them a chok. So Eishas Ach V'Kilayim V'Seir Mishaleach U'Para Aduma. So, what's Eishes Ach? Eishes Ach is a brother's wife. Diksiv Erbas Eishes Achicha V'Gomer. Right. It says that you're not allowed to marry. A man is not allowed to marry his brother's wife. But then, of course, later we know there's a mitzvah called Yibum, which is that specifically, if a man dies without any children, of course, dealing with this whole Indian of that if a man dies without children, so his brother should marry his wife. So what's going on here? Says the Yetzer Hara. Look at this. Look at this mitzvah. What's going on? And then it says another example. It says we said kivayim. Right? There's Rosabas shatnes. Right? And you're not allowed to wear shatnes, mixing linen and wool. And what's of course and tzitzis, but right, tzitzis mutter, miksiv bechuka, who's that? And it's se'ir hamishtaleach. The se'ir hamishtaleach, what's the se'ir hamishtaleach? Right? The goat on the during the Yom Kippur Avodah, that's thrown la'azazel. So that's also what happens. He brings tahara and kapara to Klal Yisrael, but what happens to that man who brings it? He becomes tameh. And what is that? What's that very similar to? Paraduma, so that's how it ends. And that's why the Midrash brought it here. So the Midrash says, and paraduma, what's going on here? Paraduma, that the person, everyone knows, the people who are involved with the paraduma, most of them become tameh at the end. And what's the purpose of the paraduma?
To purify.
To purify the Midrashahir. So what's going on? So basically, what the Chazal are telling us, Midrash is trying to do, it tells us that, you know what the Yetzer Hara tries to do? He tries to make people like question Torah and Avodah Hashem and Yiddishkeit by quoting these mitzvot. And he says, I know you know about Eshes Ach, but what about Yibum? I know you know about shatnis, but what about tzitzis? Sometimes you get a shatnis and tzitzis. Like this is what you got, Yetzer Hara. Paraduma, but you know those guys become tamei. Sir la'azazel. Like this is the big theological question, right? The big theological question. The Yetzer Hara gets you with this question of, you know, there's an exception to the rule over here. There's an exception to the rule. Like, okay, so this is where the Yetzer Hara gets you. Okay, another midrash. What's going on with the steros? We'll move on to another one. I just want to confuse everyone with midrashim tonight. That's the goal of tonight, to confuse you with midrashim. And to make you thirst for learning the understand the words of the Chazal letter. We'll see if we get some answers. This is in Sikh the Zion. Rav Acha b'shem Rav Chanina Amar b'shol shalom Moshe l'marom. At the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the heights, right? Shema, right? He went to the heights. Couldn't find parking like everybody else. You know, who goes to the heights can't find parking. Shema kolo shel kadosh baruch hashiyoshi va'osik. The parshas Parah Aduma. And when he got there, so what do you think Hashem was doing? Taxes?
What are the heights?
What? In the heights?
Where were you?
Oh, the Washington Heights. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. So what do you think Hashem was doing? What is Hashem spending his time doing? Learning Torah. Right, Tom's talking to Google. So he's learning Torah, and Moshe happens to catch him. I guess it was Parshas Lukas. Moshe is the Parshas Paraduma. Hashem is learning Paraduma. Okay. The Omer, and he says, Halacha b'shem Omra, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Egla, Bash Nosa, Parah Bash Shayin. Omer Lefona, right? So basically, he paskits like Rabbi Eliezer. Hashem is learning. He says, Halacha is for sure like Rabbi Eliezer. That's for sure Ratzon Hashem. Yeah, I got it, right? Etzve Elokimi. Yes, at least a point, right? Okay. I'm not a co-fair. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on before I get in trouble. Okay. So anyway, what happens? Hashem is sitting learning Torah, and then Hashem passes like Rabbi Yezer. He's like, yeah, this is for sure what Hashem wants. Like, passing like Rabbi Yezer. Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, Omer Lefonav, Ribon Olamim, Yehi Ratzon Shehei Melchal Tzai. Hashem, please make it be. Like, I see your passing like Rabbi Eliezer. From what I hear around the block, he's not around yet. I would love for him to come from me. Right? Please let him come from me. Amar lo, Hashem said to him, Chayecha shu mechal etzecha, by your life, he is coming from you. This is your ankle. Right? So it's this is what it says when the pasuk says this is how Darshan says it. This is the pasuk in Sefer Shmos in Shasbo. V'shem, I believe, V'shem ha'echad Eliezer. And the name of ha'echad, the one, is Eliezer. Meaning it's talking about the lineage, the genealogy of Moshe and Aaron's family. And it says, the name of one of Moshe's sons, the name of ha'echad of the one, is Eliezer. You know what the Midrash says? Eliezer, also ha'miyuchad. What does it mean, v'shem ha'echad of the one? Of the unique one. Meaning it's not just that you have a son named Eliezer, but also you're going to have a great-great-grandson who's a very unique person, the great Tana Rebbe Eliezer. Okay? Right? So what we have is a story where Hashem is learning Parah Aduma. Hashem paskins like Rebbe Eliezer. Moshe davens that Rebbe Eliezer, the great Tana Rebbe Eliezer, and Horkanah should be his descendant. Hashem says he will be, and I'll even give you a pasuk to prove it. The pasuk says that you have a son named Eliezer, and it means like the unique son, Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer and Horkanah. One more? Should we do one more? Can we handle one more? No? You're in charge. What? I didn't. Well, we'll see. But it's going to be okay. So we're gonna, yeah, in fact, to prove that, we're going to go back one midrash. Vav. Okay, last one. V'yichli lecha para aduma amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina amar lo kadosh baruch l'moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, l'cha ni megale tam para, to you I'm going to reveal the reason for the para. Avala acher chukah, but to everybody else, it's going to be a chuk. Damar avuna k'siv ki echak moed. Okay, the break is looking to support this. Right, the secret to the para aduma. So he says, I'm going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm only telling you, I'm not telling anybody else.
So is that the case of every echak then? Every echak also, or just para aduma?
It says para aduma. Para aduma. Everyone else is going to be a chuk for it.
Does that mean that things are a chuk for Moshe Rabbeinu also?
So, right. So we know that who famously knew almost everything but didn't know Parah Aduma? Shlomo HaMelech, right? The pasuk is this. I'll give you a beautiful reference right now. Pasuk says it's pasuk in Mishlei. It says, I want to acquire chachma, v'hi rechoka mimeni, but it is far from me. V'hi rechoka mimeni, it's far from me. So the Midrash, darshans, right? Shlomo HaMelech wrote Mishlei, and he said, I tried to acquire chachma, but it is far from me. So the pasuk shot is, what's far from me? Chachma. But the Midrash darshans it says, no. You know what it was specifically far from him? You know what he really didn't understand? What is it? Parah Aduma. It was Parah Aduma that he didn't understand. That's what the Midrash says. So I think it's Bamidbar Rabba, somewhere in Bamidbar Rabba. So the Rokeach, who came after the 600 years, after whatever it is, after the Midrash, you know what he pointed out? He said, if you take the Gematria of the Hi Rechoka Mimeni, it's the exact same Gematria as Parah Aduma. Incredible. Right? It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. The Midrash darshan the pasuk as referring to Parah Aduma, and the Rokeach points out, it's this exact mantra. The Hero Hokman. You don't even have to add Moshe and Aaron for this one. Okay. So to try to explain this a little bit, we'll see. We'll try to go through some of these points of the Midrashim. I don't want to take too much longer. I know it's been a very long day for everyone, a long couple of weeks. For some people, it's been a year. Okay, so let's just try to put some things together. At least try to find one theme that can explain what's going on here. I think that what we might be able to unlock this, one of the treasures, is a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, I have in my notes, it's Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. I think this is where it is. And it mentions something about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokernes. Does anybody know anything about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokernes? Yeah? He was descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, very good. He's or that. So he's a Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva. Right? He's one of the two main Rebbeinu of Rebbe Akiva. He was the one who was put in Cherem famously. He's Shita. He is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was one of the, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where they snuck him out of Israel in a coffin. Mm-hmm. Does this sound familiar? They snuck, right? So he and Rabbi Yeshua snuck him out, and then he met the Caesar, and he, okay. So, So anyway, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praises him in Pirkei Avos, in the second part of Pirkei Avos. He says, he's a bor sud she'enu ma'amid tipa. What does that mean? He's a pit that doesn't lose a teapot. No, no, doesn't lose a tipa, a drop. He doesn't lose a drop of the Torah he gets. And Rabbi Elazar says about himself, they ask him, why are you so great? And he says, I never say anything that I didn't hear from my Rebbe. From Yochanan ben Zakkai. Everything I say, or any Torah I share, is what I heard from my Rebbe. In fact, the Gemara shows a mind-blowing story where Rabbi Eliezer is asked a question, and he like avoids it and diverts the answer. He doesn't say the answer, like, you know, tries to avoid the question, deflects, right? Perfect, you know, politician, like, tries to get at it, and the Gemara explains, I forgot exactly how it plays out, but the Gemara essentially explains that he didn't want to answer. He knew the answer, but he didn't want to say it because he didn't hear from his Rebbe. He didn't want to let words leave his mouth. He says, I don't let any words leave my mouth that I didn't hear from my Rebbe. And we see certain Hanhagos, or Yochanan ben Zakkai, that Ezra ben Hyrcanus took on as well. So if that's the case, if we work with that, you know, framework a little bit, understanding Rebbe Eliezer is a Talmud who is just infinitely dedicated to the Rebbe and to the truth and to the Masorah. And that would mean that, you know, so without even filtering it through himself, right? Usually when you hear something, right, there's a broken telephone, hopefully not a broken telephone, but so you hear something and you filter it and then you express it the way you understand it, right? This is how many nevuahs worked, that there's a basic thought and then the nevuah, based on his own personal experience and skill and ability, would communicate it in a certain way. So Torah is this way as well, right? There are divrei Torah that I've heard from my Rebbeim, and when I share the Dvar Torah, it sounds very different than the way my Rebbeim share it. And I share it, the people, I hear other people share it, and that's not the way I share it, because everyone's different. But Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was more of like a direct pipeline, right? He said, I only share Torah that I heard from my Rebbe. Pure dedication to the Rebbe. And with this in mind, maybe we can try to understand what it is about Parah Aduma. What's Parah Aduma? So Parah Aduma is a chok. What does a chok mean? Chok means I don't attempt to grapple with it myself. I don't try to put my own understanding and spin and try to chop pshat. It's not about that. It's a chok is true because it's true because Hashem said it. Hashem is the Rebbe. He is the Rabbona Sha'olam. He's the master of the world. And he said it. And it is therefore true. And if it is true, I buy into it, and I don't need to understand it. So it because it's true, because Hashem said it, it's true, and therefore we follow that. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Hashem paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. Why was Hashem Hashem is paskining like Rabbi Eliezer? But you know what that means? That means that Rabbi Eliezer is communicating exactly, unfiltered, what Hashem said. He's doing his best. But Hashem says, if he's so faithful to my word, I'm talking Parah Aduma, especially by Parah Aduma, which is right the quintessential chok. I'll just go right. The quintessential chok, Parah Aduma. No one except for the Archdol world uses the word quintessential. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's a paradigm of a chok. Parah Aduma. It's a paradigm, right? Thank you. You know why? Why is it a paradigm? Because some people, the people who become Torah, Tamei, vice versa. That's called a paradox. Right. Okay. Thank you. I'll be here until I get kicked out. So this idea of the chok being what the master and what the Rebbe taught. So Hashem says, I hold by Rabbi Eliezer, because you know why? Because I know Rabbi Eliezer holds by me. He's just passing it on. Moshe says, I want him to come from me. That's the best Talmud. That's the best descendant. Someone who's going to carry on that mission. I accept what the Rebbe says, and then it kind of makes sense. You know, we have the Gemara with all the Midrash with all the Stiros. There's a Stira of Kiloyim and Tzitzis, of Yibum and Eshes Ach, and the Sir Lazazo and Paraduma, and people, it's not that like oh, I really got you now. Now you know your religion is fake, because it's that these things don't make sense. And when things don't make sense, people don't want to follow them. They don't want to do that. Right? It's just that it doesn't make sense to me, right? How many times do we hear people violating the rules because they don't understand why the rules are in place? Right? It doesn't make sense that would apply to me. But if a rule's a rule, you follow it. Typically, unless, you know, it depends whom the rule is coming from, and there has to be that basic trust. But when Hashem says a rule, you follow it. So now, okay, yes, it's okay. It's okay to have questions and understand, trying to understand the lumbus. But the Yetzer Hara comes and says, don't do this. It doesn't make sense to you. There's a stira in Yibam. There's a stira in Sir Lazazel and Paraduma. It doesn't make sense to you. That's the Yetzer Hara's fight. And the response is perfect. But Hashem said it. So I don't care. I do it anyway. I learn it anyway. I keep it anyway. And it also makes sense now that, you know, we're talking about the one person who's told what it is. No one else is going to be told. He's Moshe. But what's Moshe's last name?
Rabbeinu.
Or Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe the Rebbe. Hashem says, I'm only telling you, Rebbe, and I'm not telling anybody else. Why? Same thing. It's that this is something for the Rebbe to know and the Talmud to not know but accept. That's what that needs to be. It says in the Midrash, I'm only telling Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody else, because Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Rabbeinu. So he's the Rebbe. So he needs to pass on what Hashem told him. So he's going to be the Rebbe, and he passes on to everybody and says, I know what it means, and you don't, and you have to trust me, but you're not going to understand it. Again, the same point. And it also makes sense why the Midrash would work so hard to find Moshe in the Parah Aduma. Right? That it's part of the seven, it's part of the completion, because Moshe is the Kohen. We say Moshe has to be part of it because Moshe is a Rebbe. In fact, we're concluding Moshe is a Kohen. What are the Kohanim? Yoram Mishpatecha. Kohanim are the teachers. The teachers of Klal Yisrael. They're the Rebbeim. So we can't, if we're gonna list seven Kohanim in this parsha, we can't exclude Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the Rebbe of the story. He is the Rebbe. He's playing the role of the Rebbe, and we're all the Talmidim, and we have to accept it. With the chok with the muna, and that's really I think that's one theme that we see over here throughout these midrashim. If you try to dig a little bit deeper, is the idea of a chok, and it's a simple concept, but to really internalize it and see how many different ways it manifests throughout the words of Chazal and to apply it to our lives. And this is really what it comes down to. A chok teaches us a muna that no matter what Hashem commands you, no matter what Hashem commands happen to you, we accept it with the Muna. We're allowed to ask questions, we're allowed to try to understand, but when that becomes the goal of, I need to understand why this happened to me. I need to understand this mitzvah, otherwise I don't keep it. I need to understand this rule, otherwise I don't follow. So that's the wrong approach. To take this message of chukas, the parsha is called chukas. It's about the chok, but to see it throughout, to see it as not like someone who's some bully enforcing who knows what on me, but a loving rebbe, a caring teacher who Hashem, who loves me and cares about me so much and just wants the best for me. Mirsa Hashem, we should be zocha to internalize this message, to live with the chukim, and be zocha to have a little bit of a taste of the clarity and the sweetness of understanding the depths of Torah, but more importantly, to be able to develop our emunadik relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Right, it happens to you. It stems a lot more of the characterization.